My topic this morning is covenant love. And we've already experienced a little bit this morning. Are we okay, Mike, with right here? Okay. First of all, I just want to express some gratitude that Pastor David and Jen and are just such a great addition to the leadership here and the office, just above and beyond, and our new former vintage folks, we're so grateful that you are here. Amen. And, I can't possibly begin to express covenant love and what it is in a perfunctory kind of way without saying that we are family this morning. And there's no longer strangers, Paul said. Now, he was saying outside the new covenant, I understand, but we're not to be strangers in the house of God. I loved Pastor Dave's message around Christmas time, I think it was, that about having home. You know, we come home to the Lord. We come home to something that is home in the body of Christ. The night I really met the Lord in a church. I was a good Catholic. Well, I wasn't a good Catholic boy. I was a not even a practicing Catholic boy. I was just, you know, born Catholic, and that's the way it is. So we were tricked into going to church. There were girls and musicians, and there were girls that had no interest in us. And the musicians were some folks from Scotland, and they played accordions and played tambourines. That was not music to us at the time. So there we were. But here's the thing I want to say is that in this... Am I kind of blanking out? Should I go up there? Microphone? Let me know if it's better to switch to the handheld, if that's going to be a distraction to anybody. Yeah, we'll just go ahead, I guess. Okay, thank you, David.
Okay. Anyway, that night, I think it was Dave Morris last week said before he was saved, he heard the voice of the Lord. And that may sound unusual, but I had that experience. And when you're not saved and you hear the voice of the Lord, you don't doubt it because you don't know there is one, you know. So you know, God said to me in the midst of the service, and I didn't go to the altar yet. I didn't do anything like that. I'm standing there, and I lean over to my friend. And I said, "These people are crazy." And yet there was, and he leaned over and said, "No, there's something here." That scared me. And in this service where the manifest presence of God was, I heard the Lord say to me, "This is what you're looking for." Now, I thought of that many times because there was always that empty spot in my heart. You know what that's like before you're saved. There's that emptiness that only God can fill, kind of thing. And he said, "This is what you're looking for." And I always wondered, why didn't he say, "I am what you're looking for"? And it dawned on me after a while that, you know, God's heart is to bring us into the family of God and to himself, but into his people as well. There's something incomplete in what we've been created for, in what he's designed us for, in what he brings us to. And so covenant love is so important to us this morning as we take a look at this. I have the scripture there, which is the basis of our series, and I'd like to read that as we move into that. And that's Acts 2, 42 through 47. I'm reading from the New American Standard 2020, so they didn't have that upstairs, so this will what you're going to see is ESV, so don't be confused with just a few of the words different. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer, and all the believers were together and had all things in common, and they would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that anyone had need. Day by day, continuing in one mind, very interesting, in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Prior to that was the day of Pentecost, as we know, and the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were gathered, and they were all filled with the emotions that they associated with drunkenness and so on and so forth. But this large crowd came gathering to see what it was all about. They heard the sound, and Peter stood up and he began to preach. And the preaching was under the power of the Holy Spirit, who had just arrived and filled the believers. 3,000 were saved. And there's where we pick up what we just read. After the 3,000 were baptized in water, and what did they do next? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what do you do after that? Well, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread, to prayer, and to fellowship. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Immediately after that outpouring and baptism, they came together. Here's what I want to read for you. I use a lot of scriptures, so I give you a fair warning on that. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint us or doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came and filled the believers, we saw the speaking in tongues. We see that there was conviction and powerful ministry born, but we don't see this except in the following verses. We see evidence that God's love had been poured into their hearts. And I suggest to you that the first and second commandment came alive. To love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. No longer was it letter of the word, but now it was spirit and life, and there was a need and a desire to come together and share life, and this is the work and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about the covenant love that God brings to the people of God. People don't naturally like covenant love, as opposed to something without responsibility, commitment, involvement. There's commitment, no commitment, no expectations, no responsibility. But covenant love is involved. How many of you know that? And it means that we have to kind of go somewhere with other people. Covenant love puts us in touch, though, with something Sue had touched on in her word. It puts us in touch with the grace of God that is resident in the body of Christ. How many of you know we miss out when we don't connect with other people in the body? There's giftings, there's healing, there's encouragement, there's wisdom, there's joy, there's other natural and spiritual blessings that are invested and resident in the body of Christ. When we cut ourselves off or we're not involved, we don't receive what God has for us. There's the verse, you know, Jesus said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. If you receive a righteous person in the name of a righteous person, you receive the righteous person's reward. Unless we receive people in the body, we don't receive what God has invested in them. And sometimes we're, you know, we're just looking for that vertical thing all the time, and I think there are many times when God withholds that in order to get us to connect to the family of God. And that's just the way it works, you know. And the answer sometimes is found in some, is invested in someone else, and I have to be willing to be a part of that and connect with you and you with me. And we withhold the blessing sometimes. The communion table warns against that break off, that separation, that thing where criticism or negligence or just not simply recognizing the body of Christ. It's not an organization. It's a family. It's a body. It's not like a body. It is a body. And so that's so important. Now, 1 Peter 2:5, he said this, you also as living stones being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A spiritual house that is being built. In the world today, there is God has a building project. God, Jesus said, I will build my church. How do you know that that's going to happen? No matter what it looks like sometimes, no matter what failings, no matter what statistics may be appearing that seem doubtful, negative, limited, Jesus Christ will have a church. Without spot or blemish or wrinkle. He is preparing a bride. He is preparing a people, and we can and should be a part of that as living stones. Jesus is building that. The holy temple is not this structure. We said that many times. Our traditions, though, kind of hang in the background sometimes. It's God's people living and serving him and one another in love and unity. It doesn't mean that we're all best friends, but having been brought into a covenant with God, we share something called koinonia. Koinonia, Pastor. Amen. Which means that it means holding something in common. We share. Now hear me, we share the most valuable things in all of eternity and all of creation. We share those things. We're responsible to be mindful of that and how we do that, how we treat those things. We share the same beliefs, the convictions, the behaviors that are given to us by God in the kingdom of God. Now, God, through the blood of Jesus and our faith in him, we have a special heart connection with one another. We are his body, his family, his people. We have true fellowship, koinonia. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. Didn't we just do that? You see, that's covenant love. That means I feel a part of that. You see, they're part of us. That's family. This isn't just good news on the other side of the, you know, other side of the neighborhood. There are a lot of people that have that are pregnant today, in case you didn't know. But not everyone is a part of the family of God, and we rejoice with you guys, because we have koinonia. We have covenant love, and we are home. Now listen, and we were singing this morning about change. He'll change everything. How many of you know God will change everything? In fact, just when we get comfortable, He will make sure that we experience change so that we find Him again. You'll find the grace of God. So Hebrews chapter 12 says, see that no one misses the grace of God. You can miss it. And God forbid that any of us miss the grace of God in changes, in shifts, changes, offenses, challenges, difficulties. I always say, don't lose your compass in the storm on the sea of trouble. Don't drop your compass. You know, pain will always give you the wrong counsel. Pain will always give you the wrong advice. So we want to be careful to protect. That's why Paul said that we preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there will be times and opportunities when we lose hold of that. And we say, you know, it's really not worth it. Listen to me this morning. It's worth it. It is worth it. Don't believe the lie, the liar, and the situation that speaks so loudly. But the Word of God stands forever. All right? That's real church, by the way. When we suffer with others, we rejoice with others. That's real church, real community, real life, and real covenant love. You can't suffer with someone or rejoice with someone without embracing covenant love in Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:2 said, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And Ephesians, I'm giving you a lot of scripture. I probably didn't need to do that. Maybe I shouldn't apologize about that. I don't know. But, yeah, we need the Word of God. I mean, you know, we need the scriptures. Get the scriptures in you. Get the Word of God in you. Memorize it. Sing it. Write it. Proclaim it. It's the thing that holds us. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you or miss the mark or turn left when I should turn right or stay steady. And so Paul says he's building a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together. Let me read that again. I have it written down so I don't have to turn it. Are you guys putting it up there? Oh, there you go. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Being joined together is not just a kind of a fuzzy mystical thing. It's talking about people, relation with relationship built together. And someone is built to them, and you're built, and you're built, and you're built, and we're all connected in a very real and practical way. Peter calls us living stones. I said this before, if you remember, humor me, some of you from Light of the World of the past, but he didn't say we were rolling stones. Living stones are fixed in the wall, and rolling stones just keep rolling. And they, you know, I'm not criticizing folks that are looking for a home, and they're looking for the right home, and you need to kind of to look around. I've been there. I understand. But when you don't have a home at all, and we're kind of like a rolling stone, it's because you can't get no satisfaction. I can't help it. It's true. You know, when you there's nothing perfect in this world and in this realm. And we'll look at that a little closer. But receiving and giving covenant love, receiving and giving. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus said these words, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Now listen to the next words. "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Remember 1 Corinthians 13 that Paul tells us that you can speak in tongues, we can have prophetic ability to discern all mysteries, we can have faith that moves mountains, we can lay down our life as a martyr, we can give all of our possessions to the poor. But even in those settings, if we do not have love, here's his words, you are nothing. Now, the value we put on those things, particularly in the charismatic church, is pretty weighty, and rightly so. But without sin, nothing. It's like a 55-gallon drum, just hit it, you know, it's empty, thunk. That's what Paul said. It's like a gong. I used to have a gong, by the way. I did. I had a 30-inch pasty gong. Pasty or pasty, but anyway. My art teacher knew about my, I was a drummer in what we used to call a garage band, because that's where we practiced, when we played at schools. And when he found out how much money I invested in my equipment, he said, "A fool and his money is soon departed." And you know what? He was right. But that's another story. So I had a 30-inch pasty gong, hand-hammered in West Germany, special order. And I'll tell you the truth. A gong is an instrument in itself, a real one, a real gong. It's not just a piece of metal hanging off a string. And it was deafening, and it was all kinds of things you could do with it. But, it made a great conversation piece. But it, in and by itself, it was just noise. A noisy gong. I could still hear it now. God doesn't want to hear, heaven doesn't want to hear an empty sound. He said, "You're living stones to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God." He hears the heart. He hears the love. He hears the repentance. He hears the prayers of the saints, their incense, and their fragrant when the heart is pure, the heart is right. And that's why we come to the communion table. And every time that we share that together, we're one loaf, we're one body, and we remember that the blood was shed for us. His body was broken for us because he wanted to purchase men and women unto God. And anything that interferes with that, he is divinely and wholly jealous. And he urges us to search our hearts this morning. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Where there's criticism, wash it away. Where there's division, where there's things that, Lord, help us, because here's what he said. I could love one another as I have loved you, as I have loved you. And the 12 or 11 disciples look around and think, him? You know, love like Jesus loved? Well, the first thing is 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Wow. That can only happen by the enablement of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen by our own effort, our own desire. That drives us back to the Beatitudes where he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The people who say, I can't do that. I don't know that I have that. I need God. That's where it happens. That's where it begins. What does covenant love look like? It looks like Jesus' love for us. So let me give you a few things this morning as we get to where I wanted to go here, and then we'll be finished here in just a little while. But I want to give you some of the one another's in the Bible and realize that that's the fulfillment of what Jesus said. I want you to love each other the way I love you. And so this is a manifestation of his love. The first one is found in Colossians 3:13. You couldn't get more basic than to say forgiveness. To love one another the way Jesus loves us is to forgive each other. Isn't that where it began? That's where our beginning with God began, with forgiveness. So he said, love each other as I have loved you. Forgive each other as I have as he has forgiven us. That's covenant love. Forgive. Let it go. Release people. And let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he said, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. You know, bearing with one another means that everything is not okay. That may shock you, but that's in the Bible, to bear with one another. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be fixed. It means that we have to bear up under that in love sometimes with other people. You say, it just drives me nuts when that guy or that lady reacts that way in the church service. Yeah, I know. Bear with one another. You know, I want it all to go away. You know, bearing with one another means that everything's not okay. Let me let you in on something. Those same people filled with the Holy Spirit and that devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and breaking of bread and fellowship and prayer and went from house to house, some of those same people began to complain. Who were of Greek language complained against the Hebrew speaking Jews because their widows were rather being neglected in the daily feeding program that they had. And here's the way the NLT says it: there were rumblings of discontentment. Ever been in a church where there was rumblings of discontentment? And then you had Ananias and Sapphira's dual funeral on the same day. And then you have Judaizers bringing legalistic doctrine, distorting the gospel of God's grace. And you have Gnosticism with other false teachings that were abounding. Listen, the first century church had problems, and plenty of them. In case you think, oh, gee, there's problems around here. Yeah. Sure are. If you find a church where there's no problems, something's wrong. The enemy has passed them by and said, there's no work to be done here. Number two, Hebrews 10:24-25. Let's consider. Now, this is for us. Let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds. Not abandoning our own meeting together, as is the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Anyone see the day drawing near? Okay. And good deeds. Not abandoning our meeting together, as some people do. Encouraging. We want to encourage each other in love and good works. Don't stir one another up in other ways. You know, ever stir somebody? I've ever been stirred when someone complains. Someone say, you know what they did? You know what happened? Let me tell you. Well, that's totally unacceptable. I can't believe that. Stir one another up with love and good works. We in this part of the country, we need to conquer the cold. And I'm not talking about the cold outside the building. I'm talking about the cold that's inside many times. Not talking about just light of the world. I'm saying there's an indifference and a difficulty to meet people. Encourage each other and stir up love in good works. You know, we ought to make it a goal sometime, maybe every Sunday, to meet someone that we don't really know. Reach out across the aisle, as they say in politics. Get to know someone. Take a chance. Stir up one another. Meet together. We're going to be hearing more about small groups in the days to come. And opportunities to meet people and to get to know people and to build together, to be formed together, to be those living stones side by side in the body of Christ, and to benefit from the gifting and from the grace in every person, from the enjoyment of their differences and their experiences and their history and the insights that God has given them, and all of the values invested in the body of Christ. We can be a part of that and receive from that and contribute to that, and there's opportunity to do that. Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." I want you to think about that, because there's a unique presence of Jesus among us when we gather together. Now, Jesus is always present for the individuals. Isn't that true? But when we gather together, he specifically says, "I will be there." Now, that ought to get our attention to say there's something unique in what he's implying that's very, very important for us, where two or three are gathered in his name. Thirdly, there's Galatians 5:13, serve one another through love. Serving together is a great way to get to know people and to be built together. Not just our hospitality ministry, they're enjoying getting to know each other, but there are other ways and other things that we can be involved in to serve. Jesus said, "Even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus loved, and so Jesus served and laid down his life for us. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another with brotherly affection." That brotherly affection means, in the Greek, to cherish one's kindred. It's family words. Cherish one another, one another's kindred. I love what King David nails it here in Psalm 16 and verse 3. "As for the saints in the land," that is the true believers, "they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." Find the delight in the body of Christ. Find what David's talking about there. Open your heart to the changes. Open your heart to the people, to the opportunities to serve, to get to know someone, to get to know their name, reach out to them, share the things of their life. Get to share their life with you and your life with theirs. Number 5, honor one another, which the ESV says to outdo one another in honor. There should be honor in the house of the Lord. Number 6, Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Boy, that's so important. That we rise above superficiality in the house of God. And your burden is on me. I feel the weight of something you're going through. When we pray on Tuesday nights, many times we feel the weight of each other's problems. we feel the need. You know, faith works through love. It's you know, we'll pray for anything. If it comes to the office on a phone call or in the internet, we don't know the person, but they have a problem in their family. Maybe it's cancer, maybe it's some kind of, we will pray with all our heart. But let me tell you something, it's different when it's Joe or when it's Dave or when it's Steve or Karen or Sam. You know, Sam has a problem. What? Whoa. Stop everything. You know, it's something there, you know, Hope's going through something at work, or Zach in his business, or Tom, you know, has something with his mom that's just happened. And all of a sudden, you know, it's different. It doesn't mean that we don't care about other people, but it means that you're part of a family. And family sticks together. Can I quote something that's kind of silly? All right, I will. Have you remember the big fat Greek wedding? My big fat Greek? All right, I love my big fat Greek wedding. At the very end, when they're dancing the Greek dance, you know, Tula's voice comes in, and here's what she says. My family is big and loud, but they're my family. We fight and laugh, and yes, we roast lamb on a spit in the front yard, but wherever I go and whatever I do, they will always be. Thank God for family. Right, Pastor Dave? They were home. See, it's not perfect. That's right. It's not perfect. So bear with one another, but love deeply and sincerely. 1 Peter 1:22, fervently love one another from the heart, because Jesus said to love as he loves. Amen. You know, young people get into street gangs, and when they're interviewed sometimes, they say, why would you do that? Why would you join this group and do the things you do? And they say things like this. This is the only real family I ever knew. They treat each other like family. It's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit of what the body of Christ is called and meant to be. Motorcycle club, outlaw motorcycle clubs, the mafia, the family. What is it all looking for? It's all a pursuit to find what we have here and what we can grow in. Do you want that today? All right, stand with me. We will pray. Musicians, you want to come up and finish off the morning, giving thanks to God. Offer up spiritual sacrifices to him. We're living stones in the temple, the living temple that Jesus is building. Let's take that seriously. Love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who, what's the rest of that? Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not does not know God, for God is love. Lead us. And if this altar is open after the worship, if you need prayer, come on up. We love you and we care about you. Greet someone as you leave today after this. God bless you.